Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will, yes, we will rejoice and be glad therein. Truly, God is just such an awesome God, a wonderful God, and I come to tell you today, this is the day that we are going to just worship and glorify God for all of his goodness. It doesn't mean that everything is going hunky-dory and everything is flowing just the way that you would want it to flow, but what it does mean that God will do just exactly what he said he would do in spite of how your day is going even right now. One of the word of the Lord said, look unto the hill from which cometh our help. Our help come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And that's over in Psalms 121. And as you endeavor to look unto the hills or look unto God, God will bring things to pass and work it out for you. The scripture said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging for bread. That means God will take care of what belongs to him. Look at the lilies that, and even Solomon who was arrayed in all of his array, and the lilies who do not toil, and how God has just taken care of them and how beautiful they are, to let us know as a reminder that God will take care of what belongs to him. And you belong to God, and God will. It's a promise, and you can claim it and decree it because it's a promise unto the people of God. So on today, I want us to look at, we have a great lesson on today. The lesson is on spiritual gifts. And I really like this lesson because it gives us a greater understanding about the spiritual gift and the gifting of the body of Christ. It's very important for you to recognize and understand that which God is doing in and through the life of his people, especially yourself individually and yet collectively, so that God can just truly just flow through your life as never before. So on today, our lesson is going to be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses number 1 through 13, and then we're going to pick up verse number 31. We're also going to look at Romans chapter number 1 and verse 11. Now, I want you to grab your Bibles and get your Bibles because you are in for a treat as the revelatory word of God come to your house on today, and you'll be able to contextualize this which you have heard and apply it to your life and walk out of the theological experience that you will have through the word of the Lord. So let's take a look here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And it reads on this line. Now concerning spiritual gift, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there is differences of administration, but the same Lord. There is a diversity of operation, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracle, and to another prophecy, to another concerning discerning of spirit, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man separately as he will. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, let's look at Romans chapter number 1, verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. The thought, focus thought. Every Christian that have a ministry and a calling, we must use our various ability and talents for the glory of God. We must seek the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. And these are for the body of Christ, and we can seek God for these particular giftings for his body and things. And it's all for a purpose, and we're going to talk about that on today so you can have a greater understanding. The Bible said, in all thy getting, get an understanding, and my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so we as children of God, we must seek the knowledge, seek out knowledge, and seek to know God and the deep things unto God, the breadth of God and the length of God and even the depth of God, because he's there for his people. Now let's take a look. Paul dealt with a number of problems that emerged in the young Corinthian church. In a drive for prestige, some claimed superiority because they followed superior leaders. Others assumed that they were better than their brothers because they were strong and thus free to eat food sacrificed to idols. Now, Paul was looking at another claim. We are more spiritual than you, some insisted, and we can prove it. We speak in tongues more than you. As we examine 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, it is important to realize that the issue Paul was dealing with was not the spiritual gift. Whether he was concerned with the broader topic of spirituality. What is spirituality? What do spiritual gifts have to do with spirituality? How does we recognize the truly spiritual among us? And finally, what about these gifts of the Spirit, which some claims made them better than others? Once a person understands that the issue is spiritually rather than the spiritual gift, it becomes relatively easy to follow Paul's argument. See 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 3. However, the Spirit expresses his presence in different ways in different believers. Every spiritual gift is not just tongues. It's a manifestation of God's presence. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. And I want to reiterate that we do, and you'll hear it more in the end of when we get more into the in-depth of each one of the gifts. There's other ways that God is also manifesting himself as well. Tongues is a very key piece or very key in our new birth. And things that's very, very key and important. So I don't want you to get mixed up there and things. But as we progress into the lesson, you will begin to see what we're talking about and the vein in which we're coming from in regards to God's manifestation is in other ways too as well. Okay, so that you can have a clear, grounded understanding, okay, in the Word of God. We can observe a good analogy in the way that the human body functions. Each body part is different, but each is essential for the body to function as a whole. It would not be healthy, practical, or efficient for a body to be comprised of all eyes and all feet. Consequently, no church is whole or healthy if every believer operates in the same spiritual gift or demonstrates the same talent and ability. Every spiritual endowed believer is essential to the whole body of Christ. The more spectacular gifts, such as tongues, are not evident of spiritual superiority at all in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. They are simply demonstrate one way through which God is at work in his church. Now, again, we're going to talk about the gift of the tongue. So please do not let that overthrow you because, again, as I reiterate, speaking in tongues is key to the believer and the child of God is the evidence of one being filled with the Holy Ghost. And we'll talk about the three functions of the tongues in the church. So I want you to hold fast with me because I want you to hold that thought in your mind. It is key. Speaking in tongues is key for the believers when they get baptized with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. It's the evidence of one being filled with the Holy Ghost. But it's a place where God wants us to go on even to the next level and understanding greatly about all of the nine supernatural gifts that he's given unto the body. So please hear where we're coming from. Now, let's first of all, let's take a look at the giver of gifts. James declared, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is variableness, no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. At the beginning of a study of spiritual gifts, we shall acknowledge that all gifts come from God. Jesus gave us the parable of a talent in which the master gave one servant 5 talents, another servant 2 talents, and another servant only 1 talent. This revealed that not all individuals possess the same talents or the same measure of giftedness. Although spiritual gifts and talents are different, they all come from God and reveal God's creativity in creating individuality. Moreover, they both demonstrate ways in which God blesses, leads, and ministers to his people. God gives leaders as gifts to the church, calling them to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. He gave these leaders to work perfection in his people. Whether the leaders have a wide area of responsibility, such as the apostle, prophets, and evangelists, or local responsibility, like the pastors and teachers, they are ordained to serve the body of Christ. The teamwork of leaders and other members of the body of Christ perfects and equips and edifies the entire body. God provides many members through his Spirit that will help to mature and edify his body. These gifts include the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. Now, let's look at the purpose of gifts. One of the reasons that God has distributed supernatural gifts of his Spirit is to testify to others of his power through signs and wonders. See 1 Corinthians 14:22. Jesus proclaimed that many signs and wonders will follow believers, Mark 16:17. When they went preaching the word, God confirmed his word by performing great signs and miracles. Paul the apostle further made it clear that spiritual gifts edify and comfort the church. The gifts are not intended to edify only the person to whom they come or to lift up the person as to whom is spiritual. The gifts are to strengthen, encourage, and build up the entire body. Spiritual gifts are in the church so that members of the body of Christ can minister to each other. And you'll find over in 1 Peter 4:10, and you can read that. Each person may have a need that only God knows, and God will minister to those needs through spiritual gifts given to members within his body. Now, let's look here at the 9 supernatural gifts. We're going to look at the gift of revelation. We're going to look at the gift of power and the gift of utterance. And we're going to take a look at those and so that you can have a clearer understanding. Now, numerous spiritual gifts are mentioned in the New Testament, but prominent among these lists of gifts are 9 specific spiritual gifts, the ones that most people think of when they say spiritual gifts. We must not underestimate the importance of these spiritual gifts operating in Christ's body. Now, let's take a look here. A spiritual gift is a divinely ordained ability through which Christ enables his church to accomplish its purpose on earth. The source of each gift is God himself, and the nature of each gift is purely spiritual. It is not a talent, for talents have to do with natural ability. Talents instructs, inspires, or entertain on a natural level, but spiritual gifts are service, ministry, and edification. Talents and gifts may be revealed, related, but they are not one and the same. God alone demonstrates or determines the actual giving of spiritual gifts. So it is God. The gifts come from God. There are seven important principles pertaining to a spiritual gift. Now, I want us to look at these, and you might want to take some notes in regards about these seven principles that's pertaining to the spiritual gift. Number one, every believer has the potential to be used of God to exercise one or more of the spiritual gifts. Therefore, all should be encouraged. Number two, no person exercises all the spiritual gifts. Therefore, all should be humble. Number three, all spiritual gifts are for the body of Christ. Therefore, all should be harmonious. Number four, all spiritual gifts are for the Lord. Therefore, all should be content. Number five, all spiritual gifts are for mutually helpful. Therefore, all should be faithful. Number six, all spiritual gifts promote the whole health of Christ's body. Therefore, all are important to the church. Number seven, all gifts depends on the Holy Spirit empowerment. Therefore, none should be out of fellowship with him. Since the gift of the Spirit builds up the body of Christ, and since the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the profit or edifying of the church, 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, it follows that each gift contributes to the whole body. Logically, the most important spiritual gifts are those that meet the greatest need in the body of Christ. Even so, every member of Christ's body and every operation of spiritual gifts is important and has a necessary function in the body. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 22 through verse number 25. Now, let's look here. We looked at the seven principles of the spiritual gifts. Now, let's take a look at the various spiritual gifts. The first category or grouping that we will look at is the gift of revelation. And I want you to write that down on your piece of paper, gift of revelation. Now, the gifts that are come up under this particular category will be the word of wisdom, then the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. And we're going to take a look at these three different aspects or gifts that are within the body. And yes, people may have several of these gifts. Some may even operate in the majority of all of them. However, God wants to and choose to do it in his own body because, again, God alone determines the actual giving of spiritual gifts. Amen? And that's why Romans states for us to covet, or Corinthians chapter number 39 states that, but covet earnestly the best gift, that ye I show unto you a more excellent way. And Romans 1 and 11 said, for I long to see that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. So God wants to impart these gifts unto the body, unto you. And so let's take a look at these. Now, number one, out of the gift of revelation, we'll look at the word of wisdom. Many people ask, what exactly is this gift? It is obviously a communication of wise counsel at a given moment, imparting under the anointing and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is not, as some have supposed, a person reaching a state of infallibility in utterance or decision making. The wise man wrote, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, Proverbs 4 and 7. If we need wisdom in the mundane affairs of daily life, how much more do we need it in matters pertaining to the Lord's work and particularly in the day-to-day running of the local church. God's wisdom has wonderful properties of perfection, and these appear in every exercise of this great supernatural gift, the word of wisdom. Now, some people know it, and the Greek word Sophia was translated as wisdom, is used of all wisdom at whatever level. Greeks describe it as seeking after the best ends and using the best means. If this is so, then in the Lord's work, we must certainly need the wisdom of God, for this truly is wisdom at its highest and purest level. Now, let's take a look here again at the gift of wisdom, a word of wisdom. The supernatural gift of wisdom that has been given in all churches is a supernatural utterance of wisdom for a specific purpose. It is akin to a divine advice or direction concerning a particular person or matter in the body of Christ. Furthermore, it will pass James' test for true wisdom. And you'll find that over in James 3 and 17. First of all, it's pure. It has no ulterior motive. Then it's peaceable, never hurt or devise. Then also is gentle, reasonable and kind, easy to be entreated, not rigid or austere. It's full of mercy, understanding, and making allowance. It has good fruit, partial, without partiality, does not vacillate, it is not double-minded, and it is without hypocrisy. It never deceives or put on an act. So that is the pure wisdom that James said that you can attest to see if that wisdom is going to be wise. It's going to pass the test of being peaceable. It's going to be past the test of being pure. It's going to be past the test without partiality. It's not going to be double-minded. It's not going to be hypocrisy. And so these are the way that you can pass the test of the word of wisdom. Now, let's look at another one of the gifts of revelation. Number two, that would be the word of knowledge. If the word of wisdom is a communication of counsel and guidance to the church in a given situation, the word of knowledge is for the imparting of information. The book of Acts revealed this great gift in operation in the church. It is clear from a careful read of Acts 5, verses 1 and 10, that Peter could only have known by the impartation of knowledge what's up until then. Only the Assyrian and his wife knew, and Ananias and his wife knew. Peter later received an impartation, here it is, of divine knowledge concerning Simon the sorcerer, who posed as a prophet. Peter publicly rebuked Simeon and forecast the judgment of God upon him because God had given him a divine impartation of knowledge. And that's the word of knowledge. It's a divine impartation of knowledge. Now let's look further in this same gift. It is wonderful to observe this gift in use, not only in protecting the work of the Lord, but in promoting it. For example, both in the case of Peter and the Gentile over in Acts chapter number 10, verses 19 through 20, and Paul, the Macedonian mission over in Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. They both received a divine impartation of knowledge coming from God, and God spoke to them and told them what they needed to do. As we know, Paul received a Macedonian cry for him to come over into Macedonia and to help. And that was a divine word from the Lord. Now, God's communicated the knowledge of his will to them. Paul knew that God did not want him to go to a certain direction as well because of the divine impartation of knowledge. And a lot of times we'll hear that rhema word. We'll hear it as being talked as the rhema word or a right now word or a sure word. And when you're speaking in reference to a sure word or a rhema word, they're speaking in reference to a gifting that God has gifted the body with, which is the word of knowledge, a divine impartation of information. Okay? So then you can understand that. Because the Bible said there's nothing new up under the sun. We may put a new word or a twist to it, but it still come back to the word of knowledge. Now, let's look at number three. Again, we're still looking at the category of the gift of revelation. Number three, the discerning of spirit. Paul placed this extraordinary spiritual gift among the nine. It is an extraordinary in that it involves a different dimension, and God has given it for a different purpose. Now, let's look at the purpose in which God has given this. The purpose is that this spiritual gift enables the person operating it to accurately penetrate the realms of spirits and distinguish between what is and what is not of God. Now, that's, again, vital for the body of Christ, because his discerning of spirit is an acute penetrating of the realm of the spirit, and it distinguished between what is and what is not of God. The gift of the spirit have well equipped the church for its fundamental welfare and warfare. To be equipped properly for warfare, one needs to be thoroughly equipped for both aggression and protection. And this spiritual gift protects and provides that for the church. The scripture admonishes us to take on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 17. Paul made it quite clear that our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual wickedness. There are two Greek words translated discerning in English, diarino, which is the simple ability to distinguish between objects or things, which expresses the ability to judge in a judicial sense between right and wrong, between flesh, truth, and false. It is in the latter sense that the word is used in 1 Corinthians 12 and 10. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12 and 10. The experience of receiving and living by the Holy Spirit is wonderful, and sometimes we forget that counterfeit spiritual manifestations do occur. Consequently, we should never let down our spiritual guard. God's word informs us that Satan can and does transform himself into an angel of light, so we need not wonder that his agent also can form themselves into supposed apostles of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13. Confronted with such an array of evil forces, the church most certainly needs this great spiritual gift of protection, the discerning of spirit. And because of the fact that the devil can, Satan can and does transform himself into the angel of light and things, that's why it's so key for the body of Christ to have the discerning of spirit. So now we just completed the three various gifts of revelation. Now let's look at the next gift, the gift of power. And through the gift of power, we're going to look at faith, the gift of healing, and then we're going to look at the working of miracles. Now, faith, to see faith listed among the gift of spirits, raises a question. Does not everyone who has been saved have faith? You'll see that over in Romans 12 and 3. The scripture deals with faith in a different way. All faith is basically the same, yet its function is determined by God's purpose. The spiritual gift described in 1 Corinthians 12 and 9 is a spiritual endowment by the Holy Spirit to deal with a specific issue that requires faith. The gift of faith is a supernatural endowment of faith from God to meet a particular need. Now, let's look here. Let's look at the next gift of power, is the gift of healing. Spiritual gifts are resident within the church. God uses whomever he will, whenever he will, and according to the need of his body at any given moment in time. None of the gifts of the Spirit demonstrated this more than the gift of healing. Perhaps we should look at the ways in which healing occurred in the New Testament. First, healing occurred came by the laying on of hands. Jesus used this method of ministering to the sick, Luke 4 and 40, Luke 13 and 13. Paul uses of it strongly suggests that the other apostle also used this method. And you can see Acts 28 and verse number 8, Acts 5 and verse number 12. Healing may be the result of a command Jesus used. And Jesus used this means of ministering healing, Mark 2 and 11, Mark 3 and 5, Mark John 5 and 8. Peter also used this means of ministering healing, Acts 3 and 6, as did Paul, Acts 14, 9 and 10. In addition, the scripture records special means of healing, such as the shadow of Peter, Acts 5, 14 and 15. And also his using a handkerchief and an apron, Acts 19, verse 11 and 12. God's words reveal the various ways and means used by the Holy Ghost to deliver the sick. Now, let's look at the book James, James 5 and 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. James 5 and 14. However, it is a minister when God used members of the body of Christ to minister healing to an individual, he is giving gifts of healing to the church. Now, let's look at the third gift of power, and that is the working of miracles. Miracles were always a part of Jesus' ministry and were always in the early church. If they were for people then, they're also for us now. The gift of miracle, of working a miracle, includes raising the dead and casting out devils. It's still in effect in the church today. And I can truly attest to that myself because I've seen it on August the 26th, 2007, of God raising my husband up and seeing when he was laying on the ground fighting for his life. And I invoked the name of Jesus over his life, and faith in the name of Jesus raised him up. I also shared with you also the radio hearing on May 11, 2007. I had a tooth within my mouth that I needed to have extracted and went to the dentist. It was on a Friday. They wasn't able to do it on that day. But on that night, we had a special prayer meeting that was going on in our church. And we was praying with people around the states, around the United States. And we had people from 10, I think it was 10 different states on the phone. And we was praying and believing God. And I tell you, I took care of God's business, went to the prayer meeting, even though I had this tooth which was split and was jumping in and out of the socket. It was a number 17 on my left side in my jaw. Part of it was embedded in my jaw, and the dentist literally took an x-ray of it and stated that I would have to have a specialist to take it out because it was embedded in my jaw. But a part of the tooth has been cracked. I went on to the prayer meeting on that night, and I prayed. I bombarded heaven and things, and did what God wanted me to do. And I tell you, that next morning, child of God, when I gotten up, when I rose up and things, I was taking care of myself that morning, and I could feel something in my mouth, just almost like you have a piece of candy or something in your mouth that was there that felt like I slept all night with it in my mouth. But lo and behold, when I spit it out, it was that tooth, part of that tooth that was chipped, that I went to the dentist and they wasn't able to do. It was God's miraculous miracle that too miraculously popped out of my mouth. And I'm talking about the miracles of God, that God is doing it in and through the lives of his people this day and time. So God is still yet performing miracles in the lives of his people. Now, let's look here. The gift of utterance, prophecy, and we're going to look at prophecy, we're going to look at tongues, and we're going to look at the interpretation of tongues. And this is the part where I wanted you to wait and to listen about tongues, because it's key for us to understand. Now, prophecy is an inspired utterance made by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, 1 Peter 1-21. Throughout the Old Testament era, both men and women exercised prophecy. The gift of prophecy is one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. The gift of prophecy should never be used to give personal guidance in any members of local church, nor should it be used to give directives to the local church on governmental or membership level. It is important that a gift such as this one have certain controls in place that will prevent its abuse. First, the controls lie in the power of the one whom God anointed with the spirit of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:29-33. This places the primary responsibility on the shoulders of the one who exercised the gift. Second is the fact that prophecy is strictly for the edification of the church. 1 Corinthians 14:4-12, 19:23-24. Paul plainly taught that prophecy can be judged, which raised questions and certain questions. Who is best qualified to judge prophecy? How are those people to judge? And the answer to the first question is the pastor and the elders of the congregation are the ones that can judge the prophecy. The answer to the second question involves at least 3 factors that guide the judgment of prophecy. 1, by what is known about the person who prophecy is under judgment. 2, by the actual content of the prophecy. 3, here it is, by the written word of God, for all prophecy must conform to the scripture. So those are the 3 ways and things in which you can judge prophecy by the person who prophesying is what is known about that person who's prophesying, by the actual content of the prophecy, and by the word of God from whom all prophecy must conform to scripture. Now, let's look at the next gifting of the gift of utterance. Tongues. There are 3 different categories of tongues. Now, here it is. This is the key point. 1, tongues in which seekers speak when they are baptized with the Holy Ghost. This is other tongues, language other than those known by or spoken by the people receiving the Spirit. 2, tongues for private use, where we speak in tongues, pray in tongues, sing in tongues, and bless or give thanks in tongues. You can see that over in 1 Corinthians 14:2-15. Thirdly, the gift of tongues. This is a supernatural gift for the giving a message in tongues in a church service. This is referred to as an unknown tongue. It could be a heavenly language with no earthly counterpart or earthly language that can be understood. There are also rules in scriptures that are governing the use of the gift of tongues. The number of persons using the gift in any one gathering is limited to 2 or at 3 the most. 1 Corinthians 14:27 will let you know. The next, it said, it must be by course. This means that there can be 2, at the most 3, messages, and then there must also cease from anything else. there should be no going on to the next message until the first there is an interpretation received. So what it means is that up to at least three messages can be given at one given time in tongues in one gathering. Now, if a person or individual or if it's more than three that is going on in one gathering, then that's what raised the question, okay? And that's talking about the diversity, the gift of the diverse tongue when your person is speaking to the church. And it's important to have the interpretation because one person could, as they given or the message is coming, it could be coming in language or in English. Or if it's coming in tongues, that person may also have the gift of interpretation that can interpret what God is telling them, or God will use another individual to interpret what the tongues are being said. Now, let's look at the interpretation of tongues so that can give you a clear understanding. The interpretation of tongues, this gift gives meaning to a message in tongues that God has sent to the church. We should note that this is not a word-for-word translation, but an interpretation of the tongue. They're interpreting what God is saying, and so through those tongues. And so when you see God moving on the individual and speaking in tongues, and you can make the distinction or you can hear the distinction, God is going to give the revelation or the interpretation of that. Also, it will only happen in a session of threes, two or three. If it goes over three, then you know that's of the flesh and it's not of God. Then you can question it because the scriptures let us know that in one given session that it would happen only three times the most. And things. Anything outside of that, then you can question whether it's of the Lord or not, because then it's outside of the realm and the principles that God has given for the operation of that gift. They may only the tongues may only come one time, or they may only come two times, or three times. And anything outside of the third, then that's not of God. Then you can check it, and you can have it to sit down because it's not of God. Now, let's look at the other gifts. Number one, the gift of leadership. There were deep spiritual problems in Corinthian church. Contempt, hatred, envy, and strife existed there, which of all was unnatural for the child of God. Members of the body, same body, should exhibit concern for one another and not quarrel with one another. Paul condemned the proud and contentious spirit that prevailed in Corinth. The Holy Spirit gives the church gift of leadership to deal with these spirits and fleshly characteristics. And that's what I was talking earlier in regards that when that leader can hear and should be mature enough to recognize that when these things are operating within their church, contempt, hatred, envy, and strife. And that's why the leadership is there so that they can deal with those along with giving leadership and direction for the church, but also deal with the fleshly characteristics and spirits. God gave the Corinthian church ministers who were able to interpret scripture. They labor in the word and doctrine. They pray for the sick and minister to the weak. They also manage the affairs of the church. Such individuals bring gifts of leadership to the church. They bring unity to the body of Christ. However, the Spirit uses individuals as he will, and they should be content with the gifts and ability he's allowed them to exercise. Now, let's take a look here at the gift of service. The gift of service, the watchword of the church should be service. And we can find and see that over in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. Paul's word service or serve as an important reminder for us to look at the local church as a service organization. What programs does the church have for our children? What program does it have for me? Is there a good choir? Is there a youth group? Now, that's what people come looking for in our churches, and these are the questions sometimes that are in their mind. But these may be legitimate concerns, but this is not really God's way of looking at the church. We must open our hearts to God's word and let the Spirit renew our perspective. We must begin to see the church as a closely knit fellowship of God's people who are dedicated to caring for and serving one another. Indeed, we should come to church seeking to share in one another's lives as we worship God as well. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter number 5, verse 13 through 14. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so you can see that is rested upon the scripture. And if we have that love in our heart, we're coming out of the bowels of love, that we're going to serve out of the mindset of love within our church. If they don't have a good choir, maybe God is calling you to come and to help or enable that body of Christ. A lot of time we sit on the sideline, or people sit on the sideline and sometimes criticize. Yeah, well, this is not organized, or this is not they're not doing it in this type of a manner. Well, maybe God is sending you to that church to enable or to come along and help, because sometimes we sit on the sideline and don't offer our gifts or don't offer our talents that God has given to us, and they're there to equip the body. And some Sunday school teacher, people know that they're sitting there, have the gift of Sunday school and they are teaching, and they rather withhold that gift and not allow that gift to be functioning within the body. And what they do, it renders the body incapable of functioning in the way in which God had ordained, because individuals are withholding their gifts from the body of Christ, and or they're going from church to church to church, wandering in the wilderness, going from church to church to church, and things not being fruitful, that their fruit remain nowhere, they have no roots, and things, and this is not the will of God. God has given you a gift so that it can be rooted and grounded in his church, so it can provide for that body nourishment. Can you imagine the hand without the body, the feet not being upon the legs? That enables the body to be fully functional as what God has ordained. And that's why it's key for us as children of God to come and bring our gifts and talents to the church of God. If you have the gift of administration, well, use it in the house of God. Use it to help and things to enable the body of Christ. Don't get frustrated and say, oh, well, they're not organized or they won't let me use my gift and things. Pray and God will open and things away, because the Bible said our gift will make room for us. And that gift will make room if you allow it to make the room that it needs to for you to come to the forefront and to operate in that gift. But we must allow it to make room for us. Okay, so recognize that. Don't withhold your gift from the body of Christ. We're there to serve. We bring it to serve the body. Now let's look at the gift of ministry. God has set the ministry in the church as a gift to him and to the body. See Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 12. The purpose of ministry is for the perfecting or the equipping of the church for the ministry to each other. Now, let's look at using our gifts. We should not look on others with disdain or arrogance if we have exercised to some individual might consider to be greater gifts. How blessed is the church when all the members are busily exercising whatever gift and talent they have, fulfilling the unity and the duty of the church and his body of Christ. The appointment of spiritual gift belongs to God alone. God would not approve those who, through selfish ambition, seek the chief places of prominence in the church, but those who are most faithful to the trust placed in them and most diligent in their master's work. Still, it is biblically correct for the believers to seek to be used of God through the best gift, 1 Corinthians 12 and 31. Paul informed us that the church is a body. Each of us is different part or have a different part of the body, but still a part of the body. All gifts to the church, supernatural gifts, gift of leadership, gift of service, and the gift of ministry are given to keep the body in unity. The spiritual gift that Paul mentioned has potential to lead to disorder unless they are monitored and regulated, which is why God placed the gift of ministry and leadership in the body. Everything should be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. When they all are operating correctly and harmoniously, the gift that God has given to the church empower us to that end. It is interesting that Paul sandwiched his famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, between two pointed chapters on spiritual gifts. Paul was revealing that spiritual gifts are useless unless love guides and controls them. Paul declared that we should employ all the gifts to the glory of God. 1 Peter 4, chapter verse number 10 and 11. If they are not used to glorify God, then they are misused. And so we must be mindful of that, children of God, that they must be used for the glory of God. Now, let's look here. As we close on this lesson today, we have considered that God is the giver of all gifts, including talents and spiritual gifts. Talents are not spiritual gifts, even though both are given by God. The purpose of the gift is for assigned to those outside that God is real and powerful. Furthermore, they edify and comfort the church and minister to the need of each member of the body of Christ. There are also other gifts in the church, leadership, service, ministry. God wants to use our gifts to keep unity and order in the church. Moreover, He wants to maintain a right spirit and to manifest clarity and to use all our gifts to bring glory unto Him. We, as children of God, we have been blessed and so honored to have this beautiful gifting in the body of Christ and these supernatural gifts that God has given unto His church. And we must recognize these gifts. They come from God alone. There are some churches that may have the gift of service, the gift of ministry, and the gift of leadership, but it is God who gives the supernatural gift to His body and to the church that He chooses to give that to so that they can operate in the body of Christ and thing. And He asks for us to seek them for those supernatural gifts. And when you're seeking God for the supernatural gift, you're seeking Him, and you're seeking after God, the giver of all these beautiful and wonderful gifts. And so I come to share with you, children of God, it is God that giveth these gifts to whomever He wants to, whenever He wants to, and however He wants to, and choose them. And as we said, you can see there's some gift of leadership, gift of service, and gift of ministry. And the supernatural gifts is the gifts that come from God. And He will put them in the church as He has chosen and desire them to be. And so, children of God, that's why God says and admonishes us to seek Him with our whole heart and mind and soul, and we will be found of Him. And so that makes the difference. Seekers. Seeking Him and things and seeking Him that He will bless and equip the entire body. I pray that this lesson has given you a greater revelation, an understanding, and allow the distinction so that you can really see the distinction even in the body of Christ, and the understanding even of the gifting of the body of Christ. And I pray that this is a blessing unto you, because it's vital. We must recognize and understand it as never before in our lives, as what God is doing and want to do in and through our lives, because truly, truly, we are the children of God, and God is going to do a great and effectual work in and through our lives as never before. So take heart, child of God. Hold fast unto sound doctrine, and don't let it slip, because God wants to do something phenomenal in and through your life as never before. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad therein. And so ask God to give you understanding, and go back and listen to this again, this particular lesson and things about the 9 supernatural gifts. We talked about the principle, the important 7 important principles. We talked about the 3 categories, which is the gift of revelation, the gift of power, and the gift of utterance. And in with that gift of revelation, you have the word of wisdom, you have the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirit. And up under the gift of power, you have faith, you have the gift of healing, and you have the gift of the working of miracles. And then the gift of utterance, you have the prophecy, and you have tongues, and you have the interpretation of tongues. Then we went on to look at other gifts, the gift of leadership, the gift of service, and the gift of ministry, and we closed out by looking at the using of our gifts. And we must recognize it's all to be for the service of God, for the edifying of the body, that encouraging the body, and fulfilling the duties for Christ and for his church. And the importance of you giving your gifts back into the house of the Lord, bringing it. We have architects and things that are talented and things. Why not use that gift to help even to the dimension of the building? Or you can see things. Use that gift. He used the men with the cunning craftiness in the Old Testament when they brought in the and built the Ark of the Covenant and the various things. God wants to still use everyone that have your gifts and talent. You made technically suave and know how to the newest technology that you can use to further the gospel. Bring that gift back to the house of God and talk to your pastor and say, Pastor, let's take the church to the next level. You can do this in a whole new dimension and a whole new paradigm shift into taking your church to the next level. All those gifts and talents that you have that can be a blessing to the house of God and things, to be an arm in the house of God of ministry. So think about that and use your gift and talent for the upbuilding of God's glory and honor and for the edifying of the body of Christ. In my closing, I pray that this stir your heart to move forward, and that what you have, you are vital and valuable in the kingdom of God. And God wants to do something phenomenal in and through your life. So, child of God, be thou blessed and be thou encouraged as God moves you and propel you forward in and through the things of God. Now, as we close, I want to leave in your hearing, as always, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Because that's what the Bible declares, is for us to ask and to seek and knock, and we shall find. You'll find that over in Matthew chapter number 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you, seeking you shall find, knock and the door shall be open unto you. And if you don't have it today, perhaps you need to go back and ask again or continue to knock and don't give up from seeking, because God wants to do it at its set time and season, the door will open unto you. Gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for your precious children. We ask, oh God, that you continue to stretch forth your hand and bless them, stir them up, and even their gift that you have given unto them for the body of Christ. Let them hasten and give it into the house of the Lord, that there may be meat and strength in your house, and your body of Christ can be able to fulfill the mission that you have called it out to be. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I thank you for being with me on today, and I pray that God will forever bless and keep you, is my prayer. God bless you. Bye-bye.